grab a beverage, settle in. When you're ready, we'll begin. Joe and Pat and Michael too are gonna talk comic books with you.
Welcome to the Casual Comics Cast, where a couple of comic rookies, Michael and Pat, try to comprehend the world of comic books and comic-related pop culture with the help of Joe, who's just a casual comics guy.
All right. Well, hey, welcome everybody to the Casual Comics Cast. I'm here today, your good buddy Joe, the casual comics guy. Today we've got Jeff and our resident Batman expert today, Ryan. Welcome, Ryan.
Thank you for having me.
Anytime I need to know anything about Batman, you're the guy I call. You're the Bat guy when the casual comics guy. So you've been a Batman fan for a long time though, right, Ryan? How long have you been reading Batman comics?
I think I started in the mid-90s. Okay. I mean, Batman was always a part of my life, but comics started becoming a thing in the 90s.
Got it. Batman, that's interesting. Batman's always been, quote, a part of your life. I like that. In what ways was Batman part of your life before comics?
It was like my brother had the toys, and then I was three when the Michael Keaton movie came out. So there's really not a point in my life I remember there not being Batman, and that Batman was the most awesome thing in the world.
Got it. Awesome. Well, you were on one of our podcasts a long time ago. The first time we had you on was you correcting me on my poor Batman knowledge when I still don't even remember the lady's name, and I said she was like a nobody, and you're like, no, Leslie Tompkins,
the great Leslie Tompkins.
Jeff, do you know the great Leslie Tompkins from
was
Batman?
Was she introduced in the animated series, or did she come about in the comics?
She came about in the comics, but she does appear a few times in the series.
Right.
Okay. Well, see, now you guys both know way more about Batman than I do. So you can educate me today. Today, we're going to be talking about a Batman series that I've been seeing a lot of when I've been at the comic book shop called Batman Fear State. Jeff, you'll wind up doing an introduction to that at some point, I'm sure, with some cool little audio sound effects for us.
All righty then.
And then we're going to talk about, as I was sitting there and I was like, I'm not going to say I haven't read any DC comics in a long time. I just haven't read any of the standards in a while. And I really haven't even just read Batman and Superman in a while, because I guess I've read some of the recent Wonder Woman. What do you keep up with when you're keeping up with DC comics, Ryan?
At the moment, I'm keeping up with Catwoman and Nightwing.
Got it. Because we've discussed this, collecting comics, just reading comics in general, can be a very expensive hobby.
Yeah, time consuming too.
that is the fact. But we'll talk about Batman, and then we'll talk about Superman 78. I was super interested in this because it is a continuation, I think, from the 1978 Superman movie. So what do you say we just dive right into Batman Fear State?
A story over a year in the making and set into motion with Infinite Frontier number 0, Fear State begins. Batman played into the hands of the Scarecrow, Fear, who has unleashed a coordinated attack on Gotham City through his manipulation of Simon Saint and Peacekeeper 01. As the full scope of the Scarecrow's plan is revealed, a bloodied Dark Knight fights for his life and all the lives in Gotham City. Against an unrelenting, unstoppable opponent. Batman.
Fear State.
Will Batman ever be the same?
All right.
And I'll take a look at my notes. So, Batman Fear State, written by James Tynion IV. I think that's how you pronounce his name. Have you read any of his other comics?
Yeah, he's been on Batman a while, ever since Tom King left. So I've read a little bit of his stuff. I'm just trying to make heads or tails of this. Since I left, a lot of convoluted things happened and a lot of new characters were introduced.
Since you left Batman, because you've been reading like Batman related titles, but not Batman.
Yeah, I was obsessed with it when it was the when Tom King was writing it, and then I just kind of fell off after he left the book.
Jeff, if you were to guess, because you don't go to the comic book store ever, right?
Only if I'm looking for action figures.
Okay, so not looking at the comic section. If you were to guess, if you went into the comic book store, of how many active Batman titles there are, just different Bat-related titles, what would be just your wild guess?
Oh, 73? No, probably around anywhere from 10 to 15.
Okay. I actually think that's probably pretty close, Ryan. Do you think?
I think so. Yeah, I'm just trying to do a few in my head. I'm like, Batman, Detective, Catwoman, Nightwing, Robin, Batgirl. Yeah, there's so many.
And then there's the Catwoman, and there's a Harley Quinn series. There's probably two Harley Quinn series right now.
Yeah.
There's all the Black Label stuff. So there's probably two or three different Catwoman titles going on. There's Batman, Catwoman.
Yeah, that one. That's a very interesting dark series.
I mean, imagine they have a bunch of stuff for kids too, don't they?
They do, but I never go to the front of the store.
Just goes in the back where they have the little key you got to get in.
The way some of these comics are, I'm like, oh, all right, we're going there, are we?
Yeah. I mean, there was the notorious Batwang issue, which
yeah. I mean, luckily or unluckily, I don't know, I picked that up, so I have the one with the Wang in it before they edited it out for all future printing, so I guess that's a collector's item.
You got yourself a collector's item on your hands. So, there's a ton of Batman titles. There's a ton of Batman characters in this book. And I was like, you know, the whole conceit of this blog and podcast I have is like just for casual comic book, you know, fans. Like, I want to get into comic books. Or I want to know something about comic books. Can I just walk in to a comic book store and grab a Batman comic? And if you walked into a comic book store, you're like, what's going on in the world of Batman? Fear State is what's going on in the world of Batman. And my experience is, knowing probably more than most people do about comic books, I'm like, I have no effing clue what is going on here. I like started here, which you said, right? Batman 112 was the beginning of it. And you were reading this series, right? You were reading like other titles that just tied into this.
Right. Yeah. So there's the offshoot chapters regarding what Dick Grayson is doing and what Selina's doing, but they're not really integral to the main plot.
Yeah, I could see how that happens. And it's weird. So, you know, a level set, like for most people, Event Comics used to be a place where you could jump on. You'd be like, okay, we know that there's going to be a bunch of people who've never read any of these books before. So it's going to be a way to introduce you to the world. And even like the tie-in series were like, oh, hey. And so if you're enjoying this big event that you've never read these in a long time, here on the side are some side stories about other characters you might be interested in. It's a weird thing going on with Fear State, and we'll get into the book itself. I'm also reading The Death of Doctor Strange in Marvel, which is very much, if you've not read a Doctor Strange book in a long time, they're like, we'll just kind of fill you in as you go. And then there's a Blade tie-in. You don't know anything about Blade, but you're interested in that story. Here's a thing that's going on with Blade. But we'll get back to, let's just talk about Batman, because we've got you here, Ryan. And so written by James Tinney, and he's a very intellectual author, the other stuff I've read from him, and he explores a lot of big, interesting themes. And then the art was by Jorge Jimenez, and I don't know this artist at all, but I will tell you, this book looks freaking amazing.
Yeah, I mean, saw him on Instagram. I like his art quite a bit.
His art is, you know, and whoever's coloring the book here, his name's, I'm going to butcher this, Tomu Mori. The art, I mean, like, I would buy this book just to look at the pages, which is kind of what I had to do for the first issue, because they don't give you a recap of what's going on. What in the world is going on in the world of Batman when this starts, Ryan?
Yeah, apparently this, I mean, what goes into this, you probably had to have kept reading ever since I stopped reading, which was when the Joker War ended. So I guess everything just topples.
What's the Joker War? Because they bring that up. They're like, oh, and after the events of the Joker War, I'm like, what is that?
So that was like the last big Batman event where Joker and then his new girlfriend Punchline, who some people seem to like her, I don't.
Punchline.
Okay. Yeah, it's like, so she immediately gets on the bad side of Harley Quinn, of course. So, yeah, she's just like edgier, and she carries a knife, and she's got black hair instead of blonde hair. And, oh. Yeah. Like not the, really a fan.
Like the emo Harley Quinn.
Yeah. So she made quick enemies of Harley and Catwoman. And
is that because they're kind of pivoting to Harley being more of a, at least an anti-hero, if not just an outright good guy in the comics?
Yeah, I think so. Because, yeah, it seems like she's basically part of the Bat family now.
Oh, boy. We'll get to the Bat family in it. I have so many questions about the Bat family. It's we'll get there. But I also saw on the back of this comic how many tie-ins there are. So if I wanted to read this whole story, and I read just the Batman ones, 112 through 117, what's that, six books?
Mm-hmm.
At a price of, what's the cover price on this, $5? I'm like $30 into this, just reading Batman Fear State.
The main title, yeah.
There are 29 tie-in books if you want the whole story. You're easily in the hundreds of dollars if you want to read this whole thing off the newsstand.
Yeah, that's nuts.
Well, you were the one who told me how expensive, like, because I never thought of comic books as an expensive hobby, but you know, you're a Batman fan, and I guess you're dead on if you're a Batman fan. You'd be shelling out if you want to read everything going on at Batman.
Yeah, I suppose if you're like a Green Lantern guy, there's probably like three tops on like a good month, so you're probably fine. But right. Batman, no. Batman, every character sells, so that every character needs their own book.
I guess so. It's like they're all selling. So, all right, I'm gonna go ahead and just tee up the main story for this book, and you're gonna have to fill me in as we go. So this is after the Joker Wars, which were something that happened where there was wars involving the Joker and his girlfriend, but it like immediately starts with Batman having just a major freak out and a meltdown. And I guess I should have figured out it's called Batman Fear State, that the main bad guy was the Scarecrow.
Yeah.
But immediately they're in the middle of all these toxins being released into Gotham. And they're talking about this dude, Simon Saint. And I was like, immediately was like, this is the first time he's ever been in a comic book. And I'm like, I better check with Ryan, because that might not be true. Is Simon Saint a dude that people who read Batman know?
I think he's pretty new. This is my intro to him. This sort of ties into the Future State. That's why this is very inaccessible to new readers and very convoluted.
Well, and I did read Future State. I read some of it, which, so the Magistrate made sense to me. And the Future State actually made more sense to me than this book, because Future State skips to some unknown future. So baked right into Future State is nobody knows what's going on in this world. You're at some weird point in the future where something has happened. Everybody's new to it, which I thought was awesome. So I stacked this up against Future State, which Batman Future State, I read the next Batman. I read a lot of those and they were really good. So I was familiar with this Magistrate, that this guy is just now actually getting started. So if you've read Future State, they become sort of the big bad in Batman comics. But I guess I've just been out of this world for so long, I didn't realize Batman's not like a dude anymore. He's like an army. I mean, right? There's like 20 people helping him out all the time. He's like a general in an army.
Yeah. Yeah. You're not wrong.
Okay. So Simon Saint Industries, you know, corporate bad dude you're going to get. And he's setting up this group called the Magistrate that's supposed to help so that the police don't have to fight superpowered villains anymore. But also, is this a world where in Gotham City, vigilantes are outlawed too?
Yeah. So the new mayor, his name's Christopher Nakano. He has like a personal vendetta against vigilantes. I think some sort of tragic backstory about a dead relative is probably involved in that.
It's a Batman book. Somebody's relative died.
Someone's mom's dead probably. So he's getting preyed on by this Saint dude to prey on his anti-vigilante feelings to do this weird, like, kind of, does it remind you of like Minority Report, what the Magistrate is?
Kind of, except there's not the precognition part. It's like they don't, and it becomes at some point he's like manufacturing bad guy dude just to take him out to prove this Magistrate thing is a thing. I don't know how he's making money off of this other than he's privatizing security for all of Gotham City. I don't know. I don't know enough about the Simon Saint guy, except I just, the way that they also they change artists midstream in the book. Like, you get to the third issue of this and there's some other dude drawing it. And that just, I'm like, and then the guy that I really liked came back. But every time I saw, after they made the switch in artists, there was something that went on, and it may have been supposed to be related to the story. But every time they drew Simon Saint, I was like, dude, say it, don't spray it. Cause he's always so mad that he's spitting, and you can see like the spit flying out of his mouth every time he's yelling. Like, yummy. What?
was it? I'm not sure how to say his first name. I think it's like Gillum March. Is that who drew those ones?
I don't know. I thought it said something. It's like art was by Jorge Jimenez with Bengal. Like,
oh, with Bengal.
Just, okay. It's like, well, just some Bengal. Just some tigers randomly drawing it with him. And although the art does look like somebody with non-opposable thumbs was drawing it at some panels.
Oof.
Fortunately, they got the main artist back. All right, so back to Fear State, though, the story. They're introducing Peacekeeper 01. And here's another dude I don't know, Sean Mahoney. Who is Sean Mahoney? They're turning him into RoboCop, basically. Peacekeeper 01. Mm-hmm. Who is this dude? Should I know him?
I think he's another newbie. I think he's just, I think he's a hero cop probably from Joker War. And so, like, the public likes him, so it makes sense that he gets to be 01 alpha RoboCop guy.
Got it. So they call him the hero of A-Day. What is A-Day? Is that like something to do with the Joker Wars?
Oh, okay. That has something to do with Arkham Asylum, like some sort of like breakout attempt or something. So yeah, I think he was the hero of that. But yeah, I don't know the details on that, but I know the A stands for Arkham.
Got it. That's kind of what I guessed, but it's good to have my suspicions confirmed. And I'm feeling much better talking to you that it's like, if somebody who's been reading Batman since the 90s can't follow all of this either, then I guess I don't feel like I'm that far out of it. For some reason, in issue number one, Poison Ivy is also Queen Ivy. Don't know. Queen Ivy.
Oh, boy. Yeah. That is a lot. let me see how I can try to explain this as quickly as possible, because that's another convoluted thing.
Hey, don't explain it as quick. Explain it as long as it takes. I want to okay. Hear this. I want to know, because I don't want to be like the walking cliche, but the way that that dude drew Poison Ivy, I fell in love again with the character.
Oh yeah. Well, Poison Ivy's great. So let's see. So Poison Ivy, she did this thing in the proper Batman title probably a few years ago. It was before the wedding, so it was a while ago.
Before the wedding of
the wedding that didn't happen with Catwoman.
Batman marrying Catwoman, and that fell through.
Yeah. So this is probably like 2018 maybe. Okay. She realized that her like pheromone powers were so strong that she was able to mind control the entire world except for Batman and Catwoman, because she allowed it. Or no, they outsmarted her and they figured out a way to not be under her control. But she was even in control of Superman, like beating the stuff out of Batman.
Oh, I think I remember seeing one of those issues.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So like after Selina reasons with her and she lets everyone go, she goes to this sanctuary place, which is the topic of this storyline called Heroes in Crisis. And she is murdered by Wally West when he is in a crazy frenzy, who is Kid Flash.
Right. So Jeff, you might not know it, but Wally West, like, writers love to abuse Wally West in DC Comics.
Well, Barry Allen's far too wholesome and great. I mean, you can't really mess with him, so why not?
Well, also because he was dead forever.
Well, that's true. That doesn't help.
All right. Sorry, I interrupted you on the Queen Ivy.
Oh, no, I mean, just trying to put it all together myself. So, you know, since she's plant-based, Harley planted something, and then it was also, like, fertilized with her tears, and that brought this, like, part Poison Ivy back to life, but it was like her feral form. It didn't have like her humanity in it. That was extracted by this woman called the Gardener, who you probably encounter. Yeah, you encounter her.
She shows up in this book.
Yeah.
But so is it feral form if you're a plant? What would that be called? The floral form?
I don't know. Toxic as hell. I don't know.
All right, sorry. And,
but yeah, I mean, it makes as much sense as it does. So she extracted the...
Yeah, because explain it. So the gardener shows up, and the gardener's just hanging around in this book. I'm like, who is this person? And why are they called the gardener? And Ivy's lair is called Eden, right? Mm-hmm. This is plants. Well, of course.
So yeah, she has like the seed to the nice part of Pam. So she's trying to get it back to her to make her whole. Because yeah, once she was regrown, there's this whole thing with the Parliament of Trees and Swamp Thing. But I don't read Swamp Thing, so I don't know a whole lot of what was going on there. The
Parliament of Trees.
Yeah, like that's what they call like the Elders of the Green in Swamp Thing lore. I haven't read that since Alan Moore's series in the 80s. So,
okay.
Good luck trying to figure out what's going on with Swamp Thing.
Well, Swamp Thing, future state Swamp Thing took place like 2,000 years in the future or something, right?
See, that's the thing. Yeah, these future states are all over the place because, like, yes, Superman is like in this like war world where he's like having to like fight like a gladiator. Whereas, yeah, like, future state Batman, this could be like a year from now for all we know.
Okay, so Jeff, where are you in keeping up in this whole Batman fear state?
I'm right there with you. By golly.
What I'll have to say, Ryan, thank you, is because we are accurately recreating the experience I had reading this book.
Yeah, I mean, us trying to explain this to your listeners is probably like them trying to read it themselves, so I don't know if we're hurting them any more than they would be.
It was for me because we're still on my notes from issue one, and I'm like, oh, what's the Unsanity Collective? I have no, like, it seems like there's some super villain group, the Unsanity Collective. Were they a thing before this book, or were they made up for this book too?
I think they're made for this book as well. Yeah, they seem like,
gosh,
kind of like a terrorist organization, I guess. Freedom fighters, whatever you want to call them.
I imagine a future where somebody calls like, oh, I need to correct you. This is the Unsanity Collective is a real thing. Just like you called me out on Leslie Tompkins.
I mean, they probably will nail me on this. But yeah, this is my first time seeing the girl with the green hair.
Miracle Molly?
Miracle Molly. Yes, I wrote her name down because I knew I would forget.
I was hoping you could explain her to me.
Well, yeah, it's like she's got green hair and like a robot arm. And I don't know what powers she actually has.
She seems to have like super technology powers. Like Batman's fighting that dude like with the gauntlets on.
I guess.
Yeah, something. She looks like she's got maybe a robotic eye. I have no idea. All right, well, sounds like you're in the dark as much as I am on some of this. I did think the second issue of this, which is, you know, Batman 113, the second part of Fear State, did actually a much better job because that they actually go back and finally explain what the Scarecrow's plan is. How is the magistrate tied into Scarecrow? And they actually explain that. But then all of a sudden they get into getting inside of Batman's mind with this dude, Ghost Hunter. I'm like, who's Ghost Hunter? And why does he have when he goes into Batman's psyche with him, why is Batman in the gimp outfit from Pulp Fiction?
Well, yeah, he's prying through his mind to see the times that he's like had relations with Catwoman and Poison Ivy and Talia. I'm like, okay, perv, what are you doing?
He's like, this is critical for you to understand, Bruce. It wasn't at all.
Yeah, so as far as I can tell,
have you read any books with Ghost Hunter before?
I think he was like what came right after the Joker War. He's basically like, I think he was like a real extreme, I'm gonna kill the bad guys kind of guy. So Batman's toning him down and making him less severe.
Okay.
But okay. I don't know, kind of like a Midnighter vibe in a way.
Yep.
If you're familiar with him. Except Ghostmaker is bisexual, whereas Midnighter's full on gay.
Okay.
These are things they have to establish for no apparent reason.
Well, I mean, I don't know.
I mean, it is
sometimes. I was gonna ask you about it at one point. Is, you know, your perspective on the, because it goes here in Batman Fear State too, is the relationship between Poison Ivy and Harley Quinn. I, not being a Batman comic reader, always thought that was just like some cheap way to sell teenage boys the comic book of having them have a relationship. Is it, does it ever pay off in the books, or is it just as a cheap ploy to titillate readers?
So this is the first time that they've like made it like legit canon and had like an emotional weight behind it, instead of them just, you know, always being in the same house with skimpy clothes on. Where it's like, really? They have this big passionate kiss at the end of this, where it's like, okay, we're finally acknowledging that this is a love relationship. So yeah, that's okay. Actually kind of a big deal.
That's the first one. Okay. Cause I mean, they've been, I know, like I said, I don't read a ton of Batman comics, but I kind of see what's going on in the titles every once in a while. I'll pick it up. And I'm like, what's going on in Harley Quinn? And it's always like her having this really flirtatious relationship with the Poison Ivy. But yeah, I mean, in this book, it really comes clear that they have a deeper emotional relationship, which I thought was great. And that was why I kind of wanted to check in with you, because it was sort of new to me. I mean, even in the, when you're reading they've got, what is it? The ads in the comics where they're like, whatever other Harley Quinn Poison Ivy series they have going on, it seemed a little tawdry to me.
Yeah. And I think that's kind of the tone of the Harley books, to be kind of, silly and fun and maybe a little titillating. But yeah, like from what I've read of Harley Quinn, it's always been just kind of like a wink and a nod type thing. Like, yeah, like we know, you know, but we're never really going to say it. Because maybe, you know, because you hear about the things where foreign markets and Disney was pressured to like cut the gay kiss out of the Eternals movie, but they said no. So I figured maybe it's something like that, where they're worried that the gay content will scare people off. But then this was the first time we're in like a legit comic, not like an offshoot or an Elseworlds or a Black Label. They're like, no, look at these two women kiss. They love each other.
Well, it was a touching moment in the comic. It's better than the, you know, that I know that, you know, what we're talking about here. So, okay, well, we can power through the rest of Fear State, but I think anybody who's still listening by now kind of knows what you're in for if you're going to pick up this book. I will say that by the time you get to the third issue, and they get deeper into the Unsanity Squad, as a writer, I kind of always look for the moment when all of a sudden the writer states his theme. And in a movie, you like to see it done early. You like to hear what the theme of the movie is in the first 5 minutes and hear it pay off. Here, I thought it was issue 3. It's when they're talking to Miracle Molly in the Unsanity Squad. And she said, everyone's been traumatized by the world as it exists right now. They all deserve a chance to become what they could be without that trauma. That, I think, is where he was going with this book. It just took him a long time to get there, because that's what pays off at the end. And that's the choice that has to get made, is ultimately the Scarecrow believes that you can use fear and trauma to help the human mind evolve and get stronger.
Yeah, like, and break you down to build you up.
Right. And in her, she's got, you know, in the Unsanity Squad, it's much more, actually, if I could erase all of your trauma and all of your fears, you would be better for it. And yeah. And that's the theme of the book, which, if anybody stuck with us this long due to the theme, more power to you. But I thought, you know, then that's a choice, because somehow the Unsanity Squad has this plot device of a machine that can, the Scarecrow's been using in some way, but it was built that it could erase people's trauma, but leave them with the skills they may have developed, aka Batman, by going through that trauma.
Mm-hmm. But if that's the case, then where's their motivation? They may still have the skills, but you take the trauma away.
Well, Jeff, I think I know whose side you come down on in this Scarecrow versus Batman ideology. You think that the trauma and fear is motivating, and they think, I think Batman, again, James Tynion is an interesting writer, and he gets interesting moments, and he says, here's Batman's point of view. The human capacity for good is incredibly powerful. When you take away the media and the corporations and it's just people, they can overcome anything. Believe it or not.
No, it's like the two fairies don't blow each other up at the end of The Dark Knight.
I'm trying to remember back that far. Okay. All right.
Oh, well, right. Yeah. I'm thinking Tinkerbell. I'm like, fairy? There were no fairies.
No,
fairy boats. The boats.
It's like one boat's full of prisoners and the other's full of just randos. And they're like, those men had their chance.
You were thinking Tinkerbell. I was thinking The Dark Knight, the old comic series by Frank Miller. I'm like, wait a minute.
No, I'm talking about Heath Ledger.
Right. I got it. So a couple last thoughts on Batman Fear State. Number one, who is the whole Batman family at this point? Because there's a lot of them.
Okay, let's see.
I'm looking at one page now. There's Cassandra Cain, mm-hmm. Batgirl. There's actually an entire comic series called The Batgirls. Who are the Batgirls?
Okay, so there's original Batgirl, who's Barbara Gordon, and she's kind of Oracle again, because she still has some sort of back issue. Like her, whatever fixed her after the Killing Joke thing, it's not perfect, so she's still compromised. So then there's also Cassandra Cain, who's also known as Orphan, but she's going by Batgirl now, like she did pre-Flashpoint. Okay. And then there's Stephanie Brown, who was also the Spoiler.
The Spoiler, because she ruins the ends of movies.
Oh, she ruins everything. Oh, I'm gonna get hate for that. She's got a legion of fans.
Is she the one that wears like the black like COVID mask?
Yeah, under okay. the purple hood. Yeah.
Yep. All right.
And she was briefly Robin, so she counts as a Robin too.
Okay.
So yeah, those are the three Batgirls, and then there's the Robins. You know, there's.
But then there's Dick, Batwoman there's too, Jason. Right? Wait, there's
then
Batwoman.
There's Batwoman. Yes.
Okay. Sorry. Then there's Dick and there's Jason. Dick, Nightwing. Jason.
Yeah, Dick is Nightwing. Jason is Red Hood. Tim is, I think he's just going by Robin at the moment, but he also goes by Red Robin sometimes.
I've heard about Red Robin in the comic. They reference Red Robin.
Was he?
Who's the one who looks like Wolverine? Who's the he's one got a looks- yellow outfit.
Oh, is that the Signal? Like, you can't... Oh, okay. Yeah, I believe his name is the Signal. Okay. His name is Luke Thomas. He was from the Scott Snyder run, if you read any of that. He kind of...
Nope. They-
okay. Right, you're not.
No, but you can tell us about it. You can tell us. That's why people, I hope, are listening, is so they can learn something new about Batman.
But I just feel like it's just me spitting out characters, and none of this makes any sense.
That's the experience of reading Batman comics.
Well, it isn't usually just this particular one. Usually, I understand completely what's going on.
Well, I didn't mean to put you in a bad spot. So is Barbara Gordon though? Because she's the Batgirl that I know. Is she able to get out and like? She's not in a chair anymore, or she?
Yeah. Yeah. She has some sort of like robotic spinal thing, but I guess it was damaged in the aforementioned Joker War.
But they show a Batgirl in the one splash page near the end of this and wearing a purple outfit with a black cowl and a black cape.
Okay. So that would be Stephanie.
No, it's a different one.
She's not
Stephanie's
blonde.
In the background. Nope. She's got red hair.
Okay. Then that is Barbara.
So it's gotta be Barbara. Okay. I didn't know that she was up and around and kicking butt again.
Yeah, she's kind of doing a little of both. But yeah, since I don't read Batgirl, I don't know the particulars. She just shows up in Nightwing a lot because they're kind of shipping those two again.
Okay. All right. Well, thanks for explaining what you could, Ryan. I appreciate it. Jeff, any questions?
How do you keep it all straight?
Well, I don't. That was complete nonsense. I wrote down the names of all these new characters because I was like, Miracle Molly, Simon Saint, who are you again? I write Master Wise. He wants to mind wipe through Poison Ivy. I'm like, okay.
All right. So I guess bottom line on Batman Fear State is, at first I was going to say, if you're just a casual comics reader and you haven't read Batman in a while, probably not the place you want to start. But talking to you, it sounds like maybe if you want to replicate the experience of being a real comic book Batman fan, you pick it up and you'd feel the same way.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I get for dropping the book, I guess. Maybe this would make complete sense to me if I'd stuck with it all the way, but I kind of doubt it.
It's dense, that's for sure. But the art, the art's gorgeous. I can't knock
it. And I feel like I'm crapping on James Tynion because I know that I've read stuff by him that I like. So I don't want to make it sound like he sucks.
Oh, no, he's fantastic. I expected so much from this book because I mean, almost anything I read from him, I read the entire, I think it's called The Woods, which if you haven't read The Woods, it's available on Comixology. It's amazing. He's writing Something is Killing the Children right now, which is.
Okay, I've heard of both of those.
Pretty incredible.
Like horror comics.
Something is Killing the Children is The Woods is It's a high school that mysteriously gets transported to another planet that's actually filled with hostile stuff, and it and they have to evolve their own society. It's really cool, and that was where I was curious on how he would sort of treat the poison. It's not surprising to me, the Poison Ivy Harley Quinn piece, because all of his comics carry sort of a very human edge, feeling towards bringing, gay, queer, marginalized characters to the page. So, it's not surprising to me if you're saying this is the best moment you've seen of those two characters, because a lot of his books deal with that issue in a more positive way.
Mm-hmm. And I think he might be of the community. Yeah.
Could be. I mean,
I feel like I've heard that.
Wouldn't surprise me, but it doesn't surprise me if I hear anybody is at this point.
Right.
So overall, great writer. This book was beautifully drawn. I don't know if this represents where you'd want to jump on with him as an author either. If you want to jump on with James Tynion, Department of Truth, it's pretty amazing. The first books I read from him were called Mimetic and Cognetic. Those were really good. Into the Woods. I'm sorry, not Into the Woods. It's just called The Woods. The Woods is fantastic. Right? He wrote a musical.
He adapted that as a comic book.
Well, I saw they're adapting Phantom of the Opera into a comic, so, anything goes now.
Right. So that's a wrap on Batman Fear State. Ryan, if there's anybody listening at this point who's like, but what should I read if I want to read a Batman comic and I haven't read Batman? Anything leap to mind for you, or do we need to dig some out and find something for a future episode?
I'm liking the Batman Catwoman series that's, it's Black Label, so it's not main continuity, but continuity, who cares at this point? So it's a very dark one about Batman, Joker, Catwoman, and it brings Phantasm, if you're a fan of Phantasm from the animated movie, into the story.
Oh yeah.
Okay. Well, we will check those out and possibly talk about them on a future show. Maybe get something people can relate to. I do think those ones that are out of continuity are actually preferable at this point.
They're definitely more accessible. Like you said, yeah, since it's its own thing, it's much easier to pick up.
Yeah, the continuity can get thick. So, all right, Batman, Fear State. I give it a skibbit. It's a pretty good book. I'd definitely flip through it for the art if you have a chance. I keep turning my head and I'm getting farther away from the microphone.
Big ups for Jorge Jimenez.
Totally. All right, so now let's pivot to a book that is probably actually way more accessible. Superman 78. Do you want to do the theme song for us, Jeff? The Superman music.
That was lovely.
That was actually amazing. That was
That was awful.
Come on, give yourself a break. We'll fix it in post, right? We'll fix it in post. This is written by Robert Venditti and art by Wilfredo Torres. And this book, I suspect, by the name of the book and the logo that appears on the cover, is intended to be just a straight follow-up in the continuity of the movie universe from Superman from 1978. And Ryan, you're not a huge Superman. By the time you try to keep track of a lot of Superman.
Yeah, I like Superman and Lois Lane. She's like the great feminist hero of our comic world, but I don't typically read Superman comics.
So, and Jeff, I don't know if you had a chance to read it or not.
I actually did.
We were hustling last minute. Oh wow, all right. Well, instead of sitting on the sidelines, Jeff, why don't you jump in and tell us what you thought of Superman 78
issue 1? It's the Superman 3 that we deserved but never got. I would have loved to have seen a Brainiac movie back in the day.
Not the one written by Kevin Smith, right?
No spiders in this one yet.
Right.
I'm a little unfamiliar with that one, but
The side tangent. Kevin Smith, creator of Clerks and tons of weed jokes for the last 25 years, actually wrote a script for Batman they were trying to make into a movie, and Brainiac was the villain. And the script is available online to read if you'd like to.
In a Batman movie?
No, Superman movie. Sorry.
Oh, okay. Okay.
There's an amazing documentary about this, like with the whole Nicolas Cage of it all. It's called like The Death of Superman Returns or something. Something like Death of Superman Lives. Because, yeah. You know, like he was fit for costumes and Tim Burton was hired. Like it was going to happen. And then they just pulled the plug.
Yeah. Mercifully for all of us, I think.
Have you seen the pictures of Cage in his costume?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It just no, it looks wrong.
Right. So Tim Burton, Nicolas Cage were attached, but the script was from Kevin Smith. And it's online if you want to read it.
Well, I have no doubt that Kevin Smith would write a really good Superman movie.
Well, you would be wrong.
Well, I mean, at least he would write it with, you know, passion and reverence. It may not be good, but
might not be on track there either. What I'll say is he wrote a Superman movie.
Sure. Many people have.
Ryan, your thoughts on, well, you should just talk about the Superman movie that Kevin Smith wrote at some point.
I know. I need to track that script down. I just know some of the broad strokes about like the Brainiac spider crawling down a building and it didn't sound like it would have been very good. And at the time where we were just kind of giving up on comic book movies after Batman and Robin, that wouldn't have been a helpful movie to be in the canon.
Right. All right, so back on topic, Jeff, Superman 78, you said is the Superman 3 that we never got.
It would have been so nice. The magazine opens up with a splash page dedication to Richard Donner, who directed the original Superman movie and who sadly passed away this past year. He actually directed Superman 1 and 2, but got fired halfway through the production of Superman 2 and was replaced with Richard Lester. But it's basically his film.
That son of a bitch, Richard Lester.
Hey, look, he gave us a Hard Day's Night, so I can't fault him too much.
I really don't think it's his fault. It sounds like those producers were just like an absolute nightmare.
You think? Yeah. No, it's I was 11 when Superman came out, and I can't describe to you what it felt like to be an 11-year-old kid and seeing that movie just absolutely nail Superman perfectly. It was so amazing to watch. I mean, to this day, if I hear the John Williams score, you know, not sung by me, that I get goosebumps. It brings me right back there. So this felt very much in line with the original film.
Yep, I agree. I thought you take a big risk putting Superman 78 on the cover of your book. And I felt like they lived up to it in both the story and the art. It's a very simple story. It's not, I was just coming off reading Batman Fear State. I was like, wait, I'm comprehending everything that's going on. I know
what this is refreshing.
Clark Kent, Superman, Lois Lane, Jimmy Olsen. I know these people.
Right. It's like, add these ingredients, stir. You've got a story. Here you go.
Barry White. Here he is. Yeah. And I thought, like I said, I mean, the art in this book is like completely the opposite of the art that we just talked about in Batman Fear State. Jorge Jimenez is amazing. This art is very simple, like not huge gradients in a lot of the colors. It's, you know, a kind of a more of a flat colored book with thick lines, simple lines, not a lot of textures in it, but it works in a way that works. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And they do a really good job of capturing the essence of the actors without literally drawing pictures of the actors.
Right. Cause that's always the worst.
Yeah.
It's like when there's, go ahead, Ryan.
I was just saying, like, you know how many Buffy comics there are, and all these artists tried to capture Sarah Michelle Gellar's very specific nose and all of them. It's a very weird thing to look at. But yeah, you have like this nice like facsimile of Margot Kidder. You're like, okay, this I can handle.
Right. It gives you, I think that is the perfect word to use, Jeff. It gives you the essence of the actor without trying to mimic them in a way that you're just like sitting there being like, it doesn't look exactly like Christopher Reeve. Yeah. The scene at the beginning where he's like, he's out on the street with Lois getting a hot dog, and where she's getting two hot dogs for breakfast, which is amazing. I mean, that captures
which character. One of us hasn't been there.
No, but it captures the Lois Lane character. She's hot on the scoop. Can't stop for nothing. Got to get a hot dog for breakfast from the
vendor. She's messy. She can't spell. She's always eating junk
and smoking, but thankfully, no cancer yet.
Right. But then there's a bad guy and he's like, oh, I'm going to just take care of this with my heat vision. And he gets that Christopher Reeve look with the bright blue eyes and just tilts, and his fedora comes down a little bit over his eyebrows, and he tilts the glasses down so he doesn't melt them. And just, it's such a classic moment that brings that. You said you were 11 when you saw this movie. I felt 11 when I was reading this comic.
Mm-hmm.
It's it just kind of makes you smile.
It does. It's, you know what it is? It's happy, joyful storytelling. It's not angsty, everything sucks, and everybody's got serious trauma in their life. This is Superman. This is red, yellow, blue, bold S on the chest, Superman.
Right.
It's great.
I liked it. I thought it was, what did you think, Ryan?
Where was your head? I agree. Yeah, I need to catch up on this because it looks like there's four of them out at this point. Yeah, I thought that was a good start because, yeah, like you said, it's very weird that even now we don't have a Brainiac Superman movie.
I know, right? It just seems like a natural.
Mm-hmm. Like, but no, then, let's, you know, just do Zod and Luthor over and over.
But you get Gene Hackman under contract. I would want to keep using him too, but
yeah.
Then you get to start Superman 4 and you're like, wow, Gene, did you need a new house? What? Why did you do this movie?
This is the one that paid for the pool. I'm sure he knows exactly what he bought with that money. I think it did a good job of actually recreating a 70s film experience in a way. There's just with like little touches. There's the Brainiac android, which seems to be like the drone that's preceding actual Brainiac arriving. That's like scoping planets, because of course Brainiac collects parts of civilizations that are about to die. And it's here to check out Earth. And it's like, you know, hey, where are they? Somewhat low level intelligence here. No.
And
no,
then the guy fires the gun. Oh, low level intelligence confirmed.
Right. But it's like it crashes. And then here's the hot dog cart. And just one panel of this robot has just crashed in from space into the planet. And the hot dog vendor accidentally squeezing the mustard too hard out of shock and squirting mustard onto somebody's sweater.
You could have taken that right out of the movies.
Oh, for sure.
Like it, you know, it reminded me of that moment in Superman 2 where he's got the super breath and like the people in the streets are like, oh, like the bystanders, you know, this is his over comical reaction. And it was, I swear. Then he ducks into the alley and it is him just pulling the shirt open and the S on the chest. I almost could hear the score in my head in that panel.
Uh-huh. Yep. Mm-hmm. And did you notice the Otisburg graffiti behind him on the wall?
I did not. What is that?
It's one of my favorite bits from the first movie. Luthor has Superman in his lair and he's talking about all of his real estate plans. You know, he's going to fire a nuke at the San Andreas Fault and have California essentially fall into the ocean.
Right.
And all of the property that he's bought up alongside the fault now becomes oceanside property, and he cleans up and he's looking at his map. It's like, there's this Lutherville, there's this and Otisburg, and wait a minute, Otisburg. It's a classic Luther Otis interaction. It's beautiful. It's one of my favorite moments.
I felt like there were probably a lot of little things in there that I missed. There's the train station blows up and it's called Schuster Station. Mm-hmm. I'm like, yeah. There's probably a lot of Easter eggs in here. I could go back through and read.
Those were actually the only two that I found.
Okay. Because like the Batman 89 one is like packed with them. Like every page is like, oh, there's the Shrek cat logo. There's some reference to like Knox, you know, just all. So I was like, since I'm not as familiar with this movie as I am with the Tim Burton Batman movies, I was thinking I must be missing a whole lot here, but that's nice to hear. Maybe I wasn't.
So are you reading the Batman 89 series, Ryan?
I started it. I'm a little behind on it.
Okay. So Jeff, there's in parallel, you know, there's the Superman 78. They're also doing a Batman 89.
And well, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I would just love to catch up on that at some point.
Yeah. I knew they had done Batman 66. My Batman.
That was a lot of fun. I loved that comic.
But I had no idea they were going back and doing the Keaton Batman.
They did.
And they did a Wonder Woman 77 a couple years ago, draw her to look like Linda Carter.
Now that one I should check out.
Yeah, I think so. That's going to have to happen.
Yeah. So Overall, I think we're all very enthusiastic and positive on Superman 78. Maybe in the series, I don't know. Do you know, Ryan? I should know. Is this a limited run? I assume that's they're not going to like do 100 issues of Superman 78. I assume there's an end point in mind.
I think both of these are supposed to just be 6 parts.
Okay. Oh, yeah. I should look at the cover where it says 1 of 6.
Oh, that helps.
I know 5 is coming out very soon.
Are you picking them all up, Jeff? Are you going to read the whole thing?
I just might. You know, if you're the casual comics guy, I'm the almost never comics guy.
Yeah.
But I think I would dive into these. These are great.
All right. Well, we will. So we got a couple follow-ups here. We're going to come back and talk about something Batman related that you mentioned, Ryan. I'll have to go back and listen to the podcast. I never listen to you guys when we're talking. That's our roles. I'll have to remember what was it we were going to catch up with on Batman? Do you remember? This is fascinating.
What, Batman Catwoman? Is that what I was talking about?
Yeah, I'll go back and listen. We'll figure it out.
Okay. I don't know.
We'll catch up on a Batman, and then maybe we'll revisit Superman 78 when Superman 78's done. Maybe we'll pick up Batman 89. I got a lot of ideas for podcasts we could do. Last thing, did anybody see the new Batman trailer?
Yes.
The Batman from today?
Oh, there's a new one today?
A new one today?
It either posted today or yesterday. It posted sometime in the last day or two.
How did I miss that?
All right. Well, folks, go catch up on the Batman? Or is it
Batman? The Batman. Yep.
And it's looking better and better with every new thing I see.
I agree.
I know, like Zodiac Killer version of Riddler, and it's very interesting.
Fascinating. All right.
I'm very excited for Zoe Kravitz, too.
Zoe Kravitz? Is she?
She's Selena. Yep.
Yeah, Selena. Okay. I'm excited for it. So thanks for joining me on the Batman/Superman podcast. hopefully, if you are interested in Batman comics, you will at least try and pick up something more relatable than Batman Fear State or be prepared. I think that's the service this podcast provides. Know what you're getting into. No, be ready for it. And Superman 78, big thumbs up if you're a casual comics fan, or like Jeff, if you're an almost never comics reader, dive right in. Right, guys?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
All right, Jeff, Ryan, thanks for joining me today. Everybody, thanks for listening to the podcast. Thanks for humoring us once again. We will be back soon. Cheers, everybody.
Cheers.
All right, I'm going to stop the recording now. How do I stop?
And cheers, everyone. If you've got a comic you'd like to hear us talk about, please let us know on Twitter, @CasualComicsGuy. At our blog, casualcomicsguy.com, or on our Facebook page, Casual Comics Cast. So until next time, stay safe and stay frosty, people.